that we're talking about music, 1 Samuel 16. And so that, what a good night for the high school choir to sing. Y'all can't go anywhere but up from all this. So come on and sing for us tonight, young people. And 1 Samuel 16, and we'll get there. And we'll finish up what we started last Wednesday night. All right? That'll be a blessing. Enjoyed that very, very much. This is a talented group. They can act out the rapture for you, but they'd probably rather not have me have them do that tonight. I've been having an excellent time in Bible class on Mondays and a fun time with them, and we've been having some good times there and found out about what takes place when the rapture happens. I asked them to write down some questions that they had, and some very good questions were turned in, and I've been answering those questions, and one of them was, what happens at the rapture? And so we role-played the whole thing, and I threatened to have them do it in church sometime for you, but anyway, we'll bypass that tonight. They're probably very glad that I'll do that. All right. 1 Samuel 16, let's pray together. We're going to get into the influence of good music at the end of this, okay? Father, we're grateful tonight to have the privilege to have a Bible study, and we're thankful to have a Bible to study from and to learn truth. And Lord, the big thing is that our hearts stay hungry. If we're hungry, You will feed us, You'll teach us, You'll help us to learn, You'll bless us. Lord, if we're full and overflowing, every bitter thing is, every sweet thing is bitter to people like that. So help us to stay hungry and to be focused, and help us tonight, Lord, in the message to be an encouragement and help to the people in Jesus' name. And amen. Look at verse number 14, just by way of review, the first little part of this time tonight. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That is, the evil spirit came to Saul with the direct knowledge of God. The evil spirit didn't have anything to do with God, but the evil spirit didn't come to Saul without God's knowledge and His approval. So the evil spirit comes and he bothers Saul. Verse 15, "And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well." Drop down to verse 23. "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Now, let me give you the two or three points that we covered last Wednesday night. First of all, after a little bit of introduction to this, we talked about the fact, number one, that God enjoys good music. We went through several scriptures in the Bible that indicate before there was ever the creation of mankind, the angelic realm was already involved in the matter of singing and praising God. God enjoys good music. Music began with God, okay, it is the original creation in the angelic realm, all right? Then we said number two last week that we are made in the image of God. We like music. People respond to music. Music has an influence on people, and that's not an accident, folks. God enjoys music. We're made in His image, and therefore, human beings enjoy music. Human beings are influenced by music, and that's pretty easy to tell, just by casual observation. Number three, we said last week, the origin of evil music was when Satan fell from heaven. Now, went over in Ezekiel, other places, and showed where Satan in the original creation was not Satan, he was Lucifer. And he was an angelic being that had musical ability, great musical ability. In fact, I believe that he was over the music part of heaven's worship ceremony, okay, if you will. He was over that part of it. And, of course, when he fell, music, at least that part of music, fell with Lucifer, who then became Satan. Iniquity was found in him, and now he is, he's got this tainted, sinful, evil musical, we got this tainted, sinful, evil musical being, and that's where the origin of evil music, that's when it took place. Number four, last week, we showed you in the book of Exodus, two different places, that there are illustrations of good and bad music influencing the children of Israel. You'll find good music involved in influencing them when they crossed the Red Sea and God drowned the Egyptians in that same water and they broke out in song and they praised God together in song. The bad music having an influence on them you will find in Exodus 32 when Moses was up on the mountain and Aaron made the golden calf and Joshua said, "Man, it sounds like a noise of war in the camp." And what they were hearing was the noise of them that do sing. Now, I don't understand, and I don't know music theory. I don't know all that. I've never taken a class of that sort at all. But I have done enough reading to know that there is some kind of mathematics that is involved in correct music. It's almost like a mathematical formula that makes up the measures of a song. And when you don't have harmonious music with the proper beat, you've got when the equation, the math equation, and I wish I could explain it to you more, but it's over my head. Maybe some of you music people understand it, okay? But when the math equation or formula or whatever it is off, when it's not followed, then the whole measure's goofed up, and you get your syncopation and your backbeat, and you get you know what, folks? It's pretty easy to make music sound like war. It really is. I heard a lot of that when I was lost. A lot of war-sounding music. Just this. And that's how, of course, that's what everybody, you know, in the world likes. And so they came down off the mountain. Moses did. He said, "Man, that's the sound of those that do sing. It sounds like war in the camp." And of course, it was all involved in the worship of that golden calf. So it was the influence of, and you know that the Bible says they were not dressed properly. So you got all of this going on, and music is the major influence in the whole worship ceremony of the golden calf. So here's music. It has good influence on people. It can have bad influence on people, depending on what kind of music it is. Now, I said last week, this is where I ended last week, that I believe parents need to and should control the music that your kids listen to. Some people have advocated that that's not a battle that you should choose to fight with your children. And that's been given out as advice to people in this church. And for the record, I think that's horrible advice. I think you do not want to lose the battle when it comes to kids and music. I don't think you want to lose that one, because the music will influence their lifestyle, their behavior, and everything. Okay? The wrong kind of music fuels rebellion. Fuels rebellion. And so you don't want to lose that battle with your kids. Now, number five, here's our new material. Let me get into the new material tonight. And picking up in the same story here, that it's obvious from this story that good music has power over evil spirits. Look at the last verse of the chapter again, verse 23. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and watch it, the evil spirit departed from him." When David played the music, David played his harp, and the evil spirit departed from Saul. Now, David, the Bible tells us earlier in the chapter, verse 16, that David was skillful and cunning in playing. So here you have an accomplished musician, and he's playing the correct and right kind of music. And people, without any kind of question whatsoever, the Bible says that music had power over the evil spirit. That evil spirit departed from Saul when David began to play. Now you think of that. Think of music having power over an evil spirit. We're talking about some being from the angelic realm. Okay? Now you think about that, folks. You know, for a human being to make the claim that music does not bother me, it doesn't influence me, that is refuting the plain truth of God's Word. Music does influence us, whether you say so or not, whether you like music or not. You know, I don't like music, I don't like any kind of music. I'm just not a musical person. It doesn't matter. The Bible teaches that music has power over evil spirits. And people, if it has power over evil spirits, it has power over human beings. The spirit realm, the angelic realm, is stronger, more powerful, greater than the human realm. Do it remind you about those seven sons of Sceva in Acts? When they tried to cast the evil spirit out of that man, when they tried to cast that devil out, and that devil responded by saying, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And that evil spirit in that one man whipped those seven men, tore their clothes off. One man on seven. How many of you would put money on the one man versus the seven if you were a betting person? You wouldn't do that. You'd bet for the seven. But that one man, under the influence of the power and the control of that, as far as we know, not a legion of demons, but one evil spirit, had power over seven grown men, tore their clothes off, and made havoc of the whole thing. Now, if music has power over evil spirits, over angelic beings, the music has influence over the human race as well. In fact, more so, because we're not as strong as the evil spirits. I believe, you know, you think what you want, and I don't go around looking for trouble over my shoulder and scared of my shadow. I don't believe that, but I do believe that all of us are influenced from time to time by powerful evil beings. We don't see them. We don't necessarily feel them, but the influence of the spirit world is around us all the time. All the time. And I want to tell you something, folks. God has given us a tool to not only praise Him, but to profit us in our walk for Him here on this earth. He's given us a tool in good music. And the influence of good music in our lives, I think, keeps the influence of evil spirits to a minimum. I don't know about you, but I'd prefer that to happen. I don't want to be influenced by that crowd, okay? Now, to be sure, there are many ways to play good music, and I know there's a broad range of music that is considered good. There's probably not another issue in the fundamental Bible-believing world that has more, I guess you need to have more tolerance with, if you will, than the issue of music. And I, for one, believe that culture does play into the kind of music we are trained to enjoy. And there's room for tolerance in the choice of good music. You remember Larry Nelson and his three daughters that came here from the Ozarks, three or four years ago. Brother Larry went to heaven shortly after they were here. They were here in October and January. The three girls came home from the floral shop and found their dad in the recliner. He'd slipped off to heaven with, a massive heart attack, just a short time after they were here. And I told you that before they came, that we've never had anybody in this church, but at that time, played music like they play. It's Ozark music. It's mountain music. But folks, there was nothing musically wrong with their music. It was just a different music than what Northerners are used to. It's a different music than what Southerners are used to. Remember, they came in, they played the accordion, I can't remember all the instruments they had now. I think Brother Larry himself played a guitar. And it's a mountain culture, but the music is not musically incorrect. And I think there has to be some allowance and some tolerance for that within the sphere of what is considered to be good music. But I do want to make this point tonight from the Scripture. It was music played on a harp by a cunning and skillful musician that made for the healing of Saul. And we got to be careful. It would be very difficult, I think, for David on a harp to have a syncopation and a backbeat and a strong, heavy beat. I think it would be very difficult with a harp to do that. Okay? And maybe it wasn't the kind of harp that you and I think of. I think of a harp, maybe it was one of those harps, like a lap harp. You've seen those, okay? I forget what they're called, dobros or psalters, all those types. They're stringed instruments, dulcimers. They're stringed instruments. And so that's what David played, some kind of harp, some kind of stringed instrument. And when he did, it made Saul better. It drove away the evil spirits from Saul. Now, I don't know what you say about this. Music has influence over us. Music has influence over us. Music has influence over the spirits around us. And if good music drives away the evil spirits, then by logic, folks, by reason, then bad music must draw them. Bad music must draw them. And that's part of what happens. You get into a study, if you will, of rock music and find out that in the rock culture, some of these notorious groups actually prayed not to God, but to Satan over their music. And I believe with all my heart, that he has a lot to do with it. A lot to do with that rock music. So, you just want to be careful about this. Now, what has been a blessing to me, I have been approached recently by more than one young person in our church. I don't know if they talked to each other or not. I didn't ask. It didn't matter to me. But they sought me out. They said, can I have some time with you? And we sat down. I'm talking about teenage young people and college-age young people in this church. And they wanted to sit down and find out my opinion about what is right and what is wrong when it comes to music. And I want to tell you something. That was a blessing to me because all of them came with the attitude of, I want what's right. I don't want what's wrong. And I'll tell you, all of them were honest. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle to know what is right and what's not right. It's a battle to know what's good music sometimes and what's bad music. And so here are some suggestions. I think I used this with some of them and some suggestions that I'll give to you tonight on the matter of the right kind of music. Because music has influence over you. Music has influence over me. It has influence over the angelic crowd, the spirit world that's all around us. I don't want any attraction of evil spirits. I don't need that. I don't want that. I want music that repels evil spirits, all right? So here's what I said to them. Some of these I didn't say to them, but many of these I did. First of all, I said, use the wisdom of people who know music and have a heart for God. Use the wisdom of people who know music and have a heart for God. There's a lot of people in this church who know music, who have a heart for God. There are people in the church who know what is musically good and what's musically poor. And I think they will be objective. I think they will be tolerant. I think they'll have some room for flexibility. But if you don't know if a song or a group or a particular kind of music is good or bad, seek the advice of somebody who knows more about it than you do. And when you seek their advice, you know what you should do? Go with it. Go with it. Now, I would seek the advice. I would go to people who know music. I don't know music, and that's a little bit dangerous because, you know, well, I like that. Well, why do you like that? Well, I like it because I like it. Well, you know what? There's a lot of rock and roll songs that my flesh likes. Still to this day. If I'm in Walmart or someplace like that, God forbid that I ever have to go there, but once in a while I do. If I run out of, you know, hunting accessories, you got to get them somewhere. Still cheap a place. Still cheap. And get them at Farmer Fleet, too. But if I hear a song come on the radio, it doesn't take much to press a video button. Everything goes back. Man, it's crazy. It's crazy. And you got to be careful. If you don't know what's good, or you're not sure if something's good, seek the help of people who know, who have a heart for God. There are people like that here in this church. Number two, consider this. Stay on the safe side of right. Stay on the safe side of right. Folks, we've said this before in so many different applications, and I'll use it tonight for this application. If this is the line of demarcation between right and wrong, okay? And so this is the line of demarcation between right music and wrong music, okay? Why in the world do I want to listen to music that puts me right here? That's crazy. I have no room for error. No margin for error. The least little bit step in that direction, I'm on the side of wrong. That's not a safe way to practice anything about your Christianity. It's not a safe way to practice how you dress. It's not a safe way to practice what your entertainment you enjoy. It's not a safe way to practice what you watch on television, what kind of movies you bring into your house. Why do you want to live on what's wrong with it? Why do you want to stay there? That's the edge. No room for it. I'll promise you, every one of us, from the guy speaking to you to the person who's been saved the least amount of time in this room, every one of us needs some margin for error. Nobody stays in a static position. Okay? So if I want to have some room for error with my music, like I do in other areas of my life, I want to make sure that the music I'm listening to is way over here. You know, and if I get some music that's maybe not quite musically correct, it's not exactly how it ought to be, so I slide a little bit this way, but I'm still a long ways from what's wrong. So, you know, don't build your life with the question, what's wrong with it? Ask the question, what's right with it? What's wrong with it means I want to get as close as I can, man. I want to live right. In fact, if I can get 1 foot even halfway over the edge, that's where I want to be. That's a silly and dangerous place to live. Amen, Pastor. Okay, if everybody's asleep or awake, doesn't know, but that's true. Amen. That's a silly place for a Christian to live. Silly place for a Christian to live. So, stay on the safe side of right. Don't live close to the edge, especially when it comes to music. Ask this question about music. What is this music communicating to me? What is this music communicating to me? Music communicates to us even without words. Now, I want you to see this. In verse number 23, not only was the evil spirit driven from Saul, but the Bible says that Saul was refreshed and was well. So it wasn't like the evil spirit was just driven away and that's it. That would have left a vacuum. Because there was good music, Saul was encouraged. Because there was good music, Saul was uplifted. Because there was good music, Saul was made well by the music that David played. It did more than just drive away the evil influence of an evil spirit. That would have, like I said, would have created a vacuum. It did more. It communicated to Saul so much so that it had a healing effect on him. He was refreshed. What does your music communicate to you? What does it say to you? Country music communicates. Country music has the reputation of communicating a message of sadness and depression. Sitting over the bar, you know, in fact, somebody said, you know, their songs are always about lost loves and lost lives. And if you could ever play a country song backwards, the guy gets his house back, his wife back, and his truck back. Amen. And he's a happy man. That's what it said. Now, I don't know if, but sad. That's what it communicates. Music from the 60s communicates a message of protest. If you were lost in the 60s and 70s, and that was your music, it was protest. It was anger. It was protest against the government. It was protest against the Vietnam War. It was protest against the moral values that this country had embraced for a long time. It was all protest. That's what rock music, I said earlier, I'll repeat it, said last week. You got a child that starts down the road of a rebellious spirit, they're getting rock music influence somewhere. If they're protesting you, they're under the influence of music that communicates protest. 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 Protest mom and dad. Protest the youth group. Protest this. Protest that. That's a communication that rock music sends out. Protest. And if you were alive back then, you know what I'm talking. You know that's true. Protest. I think that's true. Nobody else think that's true? Nobody else thinks that's true. Well, then I'm all by myself. All right. Rap music communicates anger and rage. Rap music is rape the women and kill the cops. Even if the words don't say it, the music is enough. So what does the Christian music you listen to communicate? What does it say to you? Does it communicate to your spirit or to your flesh? Does it make you better? Are you encouraged? Are you more in love with the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary? Are you blessed to think about heaven and the goodness of God? Are you thankful for salvation and all the benefits of being saved? Are you refreshed? Does it do more than just replace bad music? It's because it's Christian and it's got Jesus in it and it's got, the Holy Word of God in it. All it does really is replace or just kind of replace the bad music. It doesn't have a positive, healing, refreshing effect on you. What does the music you listen to communicate? Are you refreshed like Saul was? Here's another good question to ask yourself. Are the writers and composers an example of the Christian walk I would like to practice? Now, this one may be the one with the least amount of influence on us, and sometimes it's hard to know the lifestyles of those who are singing or the beliefs of the one who composed or wrote the song. But if there is a drastic or obvious slant to a contemporary lifestyle, then I would suggest you be ultra careful about that music, because that's the kind of communication you're going to get. You're going to get a contemporary communication. Contemporary communication. And folks, I can throw pictures up on this screen tonight that would floor you. I know what I'm talking about. Examples. Examples of people who used to be in this church who've gone a contemporary route, and the kids, it's contemporary, and the music communicates that message. It communicates it. That's what it does. It's contemporary music. It's going to communicate. Country music communicates sadness, depression. Rock music from the 60s and 70s communicates protest. Rap music communicates anger and rage. And contemporary Christian music communicates contemporary Christian lifestyle. You don't want that for your kids, then don't let them get that communication. And when they go that route, just remember, you let them listen to music that communicated to go that route. Okay? So be careful about that. Be careful about the music you get to. And I know somebody's going to say, well, man, in our hymn book even, there's songs written by guys, I know we sing once in a while, that song comes along every now and again, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, and Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch had a big old afro. I don't care for Andre Crouch. It's tough to be really consistent in this area when you start checking. Now, here's what we've adopted for our church. For the choir and what all the special music people should be adopting. If they're turning in their music ahead of time like they're supposed to. Special music people are supposed to turn in the music 2 weeks early so that our staff can research the song. And if it was written by a contemporary musician in the contemporary music scene, we're not going to sing it. We're not going to sing it. And by the way, there's some pretty songs. There's some pretty songs there. But contemporary music communicates a contemporary message. It does. Safe music communicates a safe. I'm not going. I don't want the church over here. Well, I go to this church and I heard this song. Yeah, I hear those songs too. And I like some of them, but they're right here. Folks, the chances of somebody following me here someday who is as strong as I am are slim. So if I lead the church here, and the guy who follows me is one iota less strong than I am in music, where are you going to be? Where are your kids? You know what? You know, I know. It doesn't, you know. I know. I get tired sometimes of, you know, some of the hymns that we sing seem to be a little old and from so long ago that it could use a little bit more life. But you know where it is? It's right here. It's right here. It's not out here. And so they get on the internet, they start looking up composers and writers, and if they're written by men, and you know, it's hard. And I hate to say, I think that there even may be a song or two in here, the songbook that we use, that has a contemporary artist who wrote it. And I take nothing away from Jack Treiber. I'm telling you, it's one of the most difficult things to watch over. It's one of the most difficult things to watch over is your music. And you know what, folks, especially for a church congregation, especially for a church, you got all kinds of people here that like all kinds of varieties and types of music. And some people love the old sounding songs from the 40s and 50s, and other people like the more these new type songs. And some of these new songs are not bad, but if they were written by a contemporary artist, a contemporary composer, that's head over heels in the contemporary music industry, by the grace of God. Now, we might have one slip through. We might have one slip through. But by the grace of God, we're not going to have those here. To keep ourselves away from the edge. Keep ourselves away from the edge. So, that's just some suggestions about what kind of music should I listen to. Now, here's some generic suggestions concerning the use of good music. First of all, play good music throughout the day. Play good music throughout the day. You know, if you have the opportunity to have good music playing in the background throughout the day, it will help your spirit. Now look, I like talk radio as much as anybody else. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh, but once in a real, real rare occasion. And once in a while, when I do, he's really good. I thought he made a great point the other day. I was telling Ben about this today at lunch. How that he said, you know, these liberals, they're, you know, it's all about the gun. Let's get rid of the guns because the guns have inflicted so much damage. It's not the person, it's the gun, it's the weapon. Then why are we fighting ISIS? Why don't we just get rid of the weapons? If it's just the rockets and the RPGs and the bombs, that's the real problem. Let's get rid of all the weapons. Why fight the people? You see, their reasoning never fits. Never completes itself. But I'm going to tell you, too much of Rush Limbaugh bothers me. You guys ever listen to this guy, Michael Savage? Sometimes when I'm driving, boy, he is a character, man. I'll tell you, he don't like nobody. And there's another guy on at night, sometimes when I'm driving home from a meeting somewhere, Mark Levin. Boy, he gets fired up too. But you know what? Too much of that, I end up in a bad way. Too much of that, I end up in a bad way. Far, far, far better for me to turn those guys off and put on, man, I've gotten to where I've gotten such a blessing out of old Calvin Allen's group from up there, Brother Dean Noonan's church. Calvin and them been here, you know. The Faithman Quartet, boy, I'll put their music in. Son, you talk about getting blessed. Blessed. I mean helped. And I like a ball game. And I like to listen to sports talk radio. I like all that. But too much of that bothers me after a while. Hurts my spirit. I need something good. So playing good music throughout the day in the background, man, it'll help you. It'll have a great influence on you. Power of good music. Then let me say this. Let me encourage the church with this. We got so many young couples right now with young children. Get your kids involved in learning to play an instrument. Get your kids involved in learning to play an instrument. I don't know if there is a better character builder than learning how to play a musical instrument. I hope there is one. All six of our kids learned how to play at least one, and some of them multiple. Well, my kid doesn't like it. Of course not. It's work. Well, I just don't think that's important. Then you explain to me how important it was to God. In the scriptures I showed you last week from the Old Testament. And the place that music played in God's worship. And do this and have the singers and the musicians and this and this and this and this and this. We don't major on what God majors on. We're more interested in our ball team than our orchestra. I'm not against ball. But for you to downplay the importance of good music is unscriptural. The role it played in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Get your kids learning a musical instrument. Man, it is a tremendous character builder. It will help them. They will be glad, so they will not lie. And the truth is, you will hate it while they're learning it. And we went through them all, man. We went through the piano. We went through the trumpet. Oh, mercy. And Ben thought he was this great trumpetist. It was horrible sometimes. Oh. And then we went through flutes and clarinets and trombones. We went through it all. We didn't have the violin, Brother Dave. I will say that. Yeah, but I wonder sometimes how Dave keeps his sanity. Those kids are good now, y'all. But man, when they were first starting out. Get your kids involved in learning to play an instrument. Get them involved in it. They will enjoy it down the road. They will be glad they knew how to do it. Get your kids involved in learning to play an instrument. Let me say this tonight. Play for the glory of God using your talent in the local church. You know what? A lot of musical ability is developed through hard work. I understand you said that. Practice, 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 practice. But I also know that God gifts some people with a greater ability than others to pick up playing an instrument more easily. It's true that some people are gifted with an ear for music. And others are not. Some are tone deaf, and those are the ones that usually think they can sing. It's horrible, horrible. It's a dilemma when a choir director in a church gets a tone-deaf person in the choir. How do you get them out without losing them to being angry and mad? But it's just, and it's no fault of theirs. They're tone-deaf. What's great is when a person is tone-deaf and they know it. That's what's nice. The only time I ever saw Mike Hall lose his poise, I've told you this, was leading Marion Avenue congregation, and he lives in poor old John Hole, who is tone deaf, and he got happy during songs, and he got down, "Will you ask me how I know he lives?" And Brother Hall was up there, "Let me hear you now." And old John, he moved. I'm not kidding. I saw Mike Hall go. He just stopped. I got to laughing. It tickled me. I mean, it was like a moose bellowing, honestly. I'm not kidding. It was terrible. Some people are tone deaf. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I imagine the same is true about playing an instrument. So, here's my point. If you are gifted at picking up music, and if the gifts come from God, and they do, would that be okay to say that? Please use your gift where it has the greatest opportunity to honor God and help others. And I'm not against using it in other places. But for heaven's sake, don't use it everywhere else and not in the local church. Use it in the local church. I can't think of a better place consistently to honor God and help people than in your local church. And you know what our type of church needs? And thank God for the piano players that we have. We can put 2, 3, 4, 5. And you know what? It excites me to know that there are some younger teenage girls learning to play and playing well. And ladies, please grow out of, I could never play in church. Grow out of that to, well, I'd love to play in church someday. You know, that culture, if you get to change how things have been, you have to change the culture of thinking. And it's not, oh man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in front of people. I'll be scared. I'm scared every Sunday. I'm scared every week. I'll be scared next Sunday morning. I've been here 25 years doing the same thing. I'm scared every week. But it's God's what God wants me to do. And you can play, ladies, grow out of that thought pattern that, oh, I may mess up. Join the club. And get to the place where it's like, you know, boy, I want to practice and I want God to help me. Someday I would love to sit down and play. You know, years I spent in vanity and pride as a choir, as the church sings. Why not? Be a blessing. So the influence of good music, the influence, it's just a powerful, 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 powerful tool. Powerful tool. And folks, I'm going to just end it by saying this, and I have no statistics, I have no Bible verse to give you on this. This is just an observation that has been formulated over 35 years. People who struggle in their music struggle in their Christianity. Look, there's some foundational things that you just cannot change. I have found out that people who have a job situation or something else where they don't attend church faithfully on Sunday, that affects their Christian character. Just does. Now, I'll give you Wednesday night, but I'm talking about folks who consistently have to miss on Sunday due to work. 99.9% of the time, it affects their Christian character. And 35 years of observation, people who struggle in their music and want to stay right here, struggle in their Christian character. That's the influence music has on us. So, get you some music that's good. Get over here. Give yourself margin for error. And let that music be a blessing to you. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take what was said tonight and put it in somebody's heart, Lord. And sometimes things like this, some folks don't listen to you. It goes in one ear and out the other. But there might be people here tonight, Lord, in whose heart this would sink. It would make a difference and help them. It might be a challenge to some young people. So, God, I pray that you'd please help us as a church and help us as individuals, as families, to be careful about the music that we listen to and that we sing and that we allow to be played in our homes and our vehicles. God, thank you for what you created when you created music and the joy that it brings to our heart, the help that it is. Lord, bless us, I pray, to have the right kind of music in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just a brief invitation.